This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Treat them nice today. Now, usually mothers, we go all out for mothers. You can't get into the pink house, and you can't get into these fine restaurants because you're taking mama out. And then on Father's Day, you can't get into Golden Corral and Old Time because that's where you're taking daddy. Come on, y'all. Let's do up for daddy today. And we thank you so much for doing so. To Reverend Thurman Neal Tillman, the pastor of this great church, Sister LaWanda Tillman. Again, thank you all so much for the opportunity, and thank you for all that you do in our community. It's been a busy week, and Pastor Tillman and I have been in each other's company several times during this week as we work to make our community better. It's not lost on me. This is the first Sunday after the official holiday of Juneteenth. And particularly the historic nature that this church plays in American history. Juneteenth has special significance here. And so we hope that we would now appropriately recognize Juneteenth in our city. And we will discuss how we do that as we move forward. But that being said, I'm here to give a message, and I want to thank the music ministry so much for pressing on, and Brother McGuire and the media ministry for helping us to manage through this time. I want to thank you for your prayers and your words of encouragement during what has been the most challenging times in our recent city's history. Thank you for wearing a mask. Thank you for washing your hands. Thank you for watching your distance. And most importantly, thank you for getting the vaccine. I am fully vaccinated, and I hope you are too. So, let's go to the Word of God, and I want to draw your attention to 1 Kings, the second chapter. 1 Kings, the second chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse. 1 Kings, the second chapter, and the first verse. If we were in each other's company, say when you got it, say you got it. 1 Kings, second chapter, and we're starting at the first verse. And I will be reading from the Message Bible for emphasis. And it reads as follows. When David's time to die approached, he charged then his son Solomon, saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, but you, be strong, show what you're made of, do what God tells you, walk in the paths that he shows you, follow the life map, absolutely, keep an eye out for the signposts, his course for life set out in the revelation to Moses. Then you'll get on well in whatever you do and wherever you go. Then God will confirm what he promised me when he said, if your sons watch their step, staying true to me heart and soul, you will always have a successor on Israel's throne. I'm going to go a little further here. And don't forget what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to the two commanders of Israel's army, to Abner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Jephthah. He murdered them in cold blood, acting in peacetime as if he were at war, and has been stained with that blood ever since. Do what you think best with him, but by no means let him get off scot-free. Make him pay. But be generous to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite. Extend every hospitality to them. That's the way they treated me when I was running for my life from Absalom, your brother. You'll also have to deal with Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Baharim, the one who cursed me so viciously when I was on my way to Mahanaim. Later, when he welcomed me back at the Jordan, I promised him under God, I won't put you to death. But neither should you treat him as if nothing happened. You're wise. You know how to handle these things. You'll know what to do to make him pay before he dies. And finally, then David joined his ancestors. He was buried in the city of David. David ruled Israel for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and another 33 in Jerusalem. Solomon took over the throne of his father David. He had a firm grip on the kingdom. And that ends the reading of God's word. I want to take a moment to ask you a consideration on the subject. Prove yourself a man. Prove yourself a man. We know about the greatness of Solomon. We know that Solomon, Pastor Tillman, was the wisest king that ever lived. We know that Solomon wrote, composed 3,000 proverbs. We know that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. We know that Solomon studied nature and he could intelligently speak about trees, plants, and nature. We know that Solomon was chosen by God to build a house for God's name. And we know that King Solomon reigned for 40 years. We know of the greatness, but the greatness came from his beginning. And so we will go back in time to the genesis of Solomon and this crucial conversation, this courageous conversation between Solomon and his daddy, his father, David. Remember David, King David, now 70 years old, in the closing moments of what was a long life. After the death of Saul, David was able to unite the tribes of Israel into a great nation. David was known as the man after God's own heart. David was the boy, you remember, that killed the mighty Goliath. David was the greatest songwriter that had ever lived. The majority of songs and lyrics contained in the Book of Psalms were written by David. But if you remember, David had his problems too. David had eye trouble when it came to looking at OPP, other people's property. As king, you remember, he saw a married woman named Bathsheba taking a bath. He had sex with her, and in an effort to cover up his adultery, he had her husband, Uriah the Hittite, put in the front line of battle where he was killed. Bathsheba became pregnant, and God was so displeased about all that David had done, he sent Nathan, the prophet, to tell him about it. David was forgiven, but David had to pay. And as a result of David's actions, the first child that he fathered with Bathsheba became sick and died. And when David and Bathsheba had the second child that was named Solomon, David continued to have problems. Another one of his sons fell in love with his own sister and raped her. When another brother found out about it, he waited 2 years and killed the first brother at the family reunion in front of everyone. Then he went to exile himself, living with his grandfather in a distant land. So in a single evening, David lost two of his oldest sons, one to death, one to self-imposed banishment. And this son would come back later and try to take over David, his father's throne. David coveted another man's wife. He committed adultery. He committed murder by having Uriah killed. Then he lied to cover it up. David had good times. David had bad times. But now it was time for him to have a talk, provide some advice, some fatherly advice to his son, Solomon. And he emphasized here that it was Solomon's duty to build the temple. He emphasized that although I might have had a life messed up, my life doesn't have to be your life. And one of the reasons I think that here we are in 2021 in Savannah, that many of us are in the state that we're in because many of our children, particularly our little boys, have no active father, no active male role model to have that fatherly talk, man talk. So David tells Solomon that you have to prove yourself to be a man. It just doesn't come. And likewise, we have many males in this community and across the country that believe that because you use the male's bathroom, that makes you a man. Or how many children you have, that makes you a man. Or that the nice car you drive makes you a man. Or that the nice clothes you wear makes you a man. Or the gun that you carry makes you a man. Or how much liquor you can drink, or how much weed you can smoke makes you a man. Or how many women you can beat up makes you a man. Is anybody willing to prove themselves a man? So David gives his son Solomon three main pieces of advice. But you will see in this scripture that David affirms his son. He says, you're smart. You know what to do. So he affirms his son. And we need fathers to say, you know what? You're bright. You're smart. You're intelligent. You can do this. And sometimes I know in my life growing up, for my father, sometimes my daddy just telling me I can do it, made all the world to me. And as old as I am today, not as old as Pastor Tilton, but I'm getting there. My daddy is still my hero. So, first of all, David tells his son to be strong. Look at verse 2. Be strong. And we need to remind our children, remind our sons, that our people are strong people. We were brought to this country packed like sardines, that we were beaten and tortured, that we worked from can't see morning to can't see night, that we come from strong people who could be in their homes and look at the floor and study agriculture, but then look at our ceilings and study astrology. You'll get that in a minute. We come from strong people. We come from strong people that Crispus fought and that Frederick wrote and that W.E.B. debated and that George Washington Carver invented and Mary Bethune taught and Thurgood argued and Marcus stood and Rosa sat and Huey marched and Jesse ran and Sidney acted and Allie fought and Duke composed and Megan died and Martin spoke and Mahalia sang and Richard joked and Alvin danced, Mandela was jailed and Michael moonwalked and Magic passed and Joy flew and Nicky rhymed and Tupac rapped and Colin Powell became the Secretary of State and Kamala Harris is the Vice President of the United States and Barack Obama was the first African-American president of the United States. We come from strong people. We come from people right here in our community. Pastor Thurman Neal Tilden, Mayor Otis Johnson, Mayor Floyd Adams, Mayor Edna Jackson, W.W. Law. We come from Ralph Mark Gilbert, people in this community, Curtis Cooper. We come from people in this community who are strong. And so being strong is in our DNA. It's important for us to know Juneteenth means nothing to free people if you don't know that you're free. And if you don't act like you're free. So here we are, we look around places that matter, we look in our churches and we look at PTA meetings and we look at community meetings and vacation Bible schools and who do we mostly see? We see women and girls. Yet if we look on many of our corners or in our streets who's just hanging and chilling, we see our men and our boys. In the words of the immortal Keith Sweat, something, something just ain't right about that. Which is why here in the city of Savannah we have what we call mission-minded men. We have the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and we're gathering together across organizational and denominational lines and religious lines because we have to go and get our boys. And so we are doing that to remind them that they are strong. Being strong means showing love. It's okay to tell a young man that you love them. And fathers, I want you to find a way to tell your son today, tell your daughter today, say the words, I love you. They might be shocked, but love is a little bit more than just paying all of the bills. And you know, love is also sometimes hearing. It's okay for men to show affection to our children. Because if we don't, our little boys grow up seeking that affection other places. And if our little boys don't find or learn about the birds and the bees from our fathers, so they're raised by TV, they're raised by videos, they're raised by what they hear and what they see. We need to tell our young boys, if you're man enough to live with a woman, then you might need to be man enough to make her your wife or own. Our little girls are seeking that affection and they are growing up seeking that affection in the arms of men sometimes old enough to be their father. And sometimes they go around from man to man seeking the love that they should have received from dad. Something, something just ain't right. Well, David tells Solomon to be strong, but secondly, he tells him to live in God's will. Go to verse 3. The Bible clearly says it is God's will for us to train a child in the way that they should go. And the Bible clearly says that we should walk in his laws and his ways, keeping his statutes and his commandments, his ordinances and his testimonies. It's his will that we are good husbands and good fathers, but more importantly and more basically, good men. It's not God's will that we're playing as pimps and gangsters and thugs. It's not God's will that there are 2.3 million inmates in America and 780,000 of them are African American. It's not God's will that here in Chatham County, where black males make up a relatively small part of the, less than 20% of our population, that in our Chatham County jail right now, we make up over 70%. It's not God's will that it's been said that 1 in 3 black males born today should expect to spend some time in prison. It's not his will that over 1 million African American men have permanently lost their right to vote. It's not God's will that 1/3 of all black children under the age of 18 live with unmarried mothers. It's not God's will that we're paying $300 a month rent while driving $600 a month cars. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on. It's not God's will that black men are dying left and right because of heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, prostate cancer, because we won't go to the doctor. It's not God's will. You can have life and have life more abundantly. We have to live in the will of God. It's important. We have to live in the perfect will of God. There's a permissive will of God, Pastor Tillman, which, you know, you do what you're going to do. But we want to live and strive to live. And David is telling Solomon, live in the perfect will of God. Do God's will. Finally, David tells his son Solomon to receive the Lord's promise. Verse 4 says, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel. This statement from God denotes God's desire for a contractual relationship with man. God's promise to David saying, if your sons heed this way, you will always have a descendant on the throne of Israel. This is a pure quid pro quo relationship. You do this, then I will do that. No matter what the Assyrians, no matter what the Egyptians, no matter what the Babylonians do, as long as you're being obedient, God will establish the kingdom under David's rule. David tells Solomon to walk before God with faithfulness. And we know that faith is sometimes taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. It was faith that made Abel's sacrifice acceptable when Cain's wasn't. It was faith that allowed Enoch to escape death. It was faith that kept Noah afloat while all around him were sinking. It was the faith that made Abraham and Sarah parents before they were fertility pills or that little blue pill. It was faith that made Moses refuse to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and be mistreated along with the people of God. It was faith that the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea as if they were on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. It was faith that people conquered kingdoms and ministered justice, gained that which was promised, who shut the lives of lions and who quenched the fury of flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and became powerful and routed foreign armies. It was faith that Savannah, Georgia, during the worst and most challenging times in our lives, times we didn't know whether we were going to make it or not, when this monster called COVID-19 invaded our city, it was faith that got us through. And so faith works. So even today in Savannah, Georgia, King David is telling all of us that if we walk faithful before the Lord, the murders will stop, the crime will stop, drug dealing will stop, teenage pregnancy will stop. Our fathers will return to their families, and God will heal our land. That was David's advice to his son Solomon. Now let's fast forward again to the end of where I began. Solomon became the wisest king that ever lived. Solomon composed 3,000 proverbs. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. Solomon study nature and could speak intelligently about trees, plants, and nature. He was chosen by God to build a house for God's name. King Solomon reigned for 40 years. Hopefully you'll see the need, the practicality, the absolute necessity of having that talk, that fatherly advice with your young people. Telling them that you didn't always get it right. You made some big mistakes. Don't make them think you're perfect, because then they grow up thinking they need to be perfect. No, I messed up. I did some real messed up stuff. But my mistakes don't have to be your mistakes. Affirm them. Tell them you love them. Tell them they're smart. Tell them they know what to do. And because you see the world at a 30,000 foot level, give them that advice as well. Give them the benefit of the things that you've learned. Because knowledge means nothing if it's not passed on. So on behalf of the city of Savannah, and I'm sure on behalf of First African Baptist Church, happy Father's Day. We thank you, we appreciate you, and may God bless you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.